One, two, three, four. Just another day at my dead-end profession. I'm living day to day. Yeah, listening to some good old country records on the radio. And yeah, what else can I say?
Welcome back to the program. I'm Ryan Shores. With me as always on the soundboard is Robert Timothy.
Woohoo!
Dave Collins is out of town doing some shows. That's not nice. So, filling in for him, you've heard him many times guest host before, our prison correspondent, Big Frog, everybody.
Baby, in the house.
Thanks for coming in, man. We really appreciate you bailing us out again.
For sure.
Not just prison correspondent, also like Mexican gang life correspondent.
Right?
He's the one who taught us all about how you get the names like Frog or right. Gopher or something.
He could write a whole essay on being an essay.
Yeah.
So...
And has.
I had quite the evening last night. Quite the evening.
You had a packed schedule last night, bro.
So I documented this well on my social media pages, but I did something that I realized midway through like playing all this that I don't think a lot of people have ever done.
Right.
Which is go from headlining a comedy show, not just doing an open mic, fucking 30 minutes of material for a packed audience, running directly off the stage, running into a car, driving across town and then running directly on stage with a band for a full sold out crowd. I don't think a lot of people have done that ever.
No, it reminds me of that time that Roy Jones Jr. played a professional basketball game and then had a professional boxing match later that night.
Is
on
that
the
right?
Same day, yeah.
Deion Sanders, too.
Yeah.
Played a game for the Falcons, then flew and played for the Braves in the World Series.
Yeah, but that's baseball. It didn't count. It's just like, come on.
Yeah, so the way this all came about, because I had to play Bay Bridge Brewing at one time, and then I had a gig with the Fiends opening for a very popular tribute band called Max Sabbath. So I did not realize, and this is the second time this year I have fucked up and double booked myself. It was completely my fault. I misread an email from the original booker because this booker books many rooms, and I thought I was just scheduled to work for her on Saturday, today, which I am. But I didn't realize I was working for her the whole weekend, which included Friday, which included this gig that we could not back out of. We just could not. I was contractually obligated to both.
Yeah.
So upon figuring this out, I realized this is at the same time, across town, both had equal importance to me. So I was in this predicament. Now,
let me guess, you did what the guy did to you when he double booked, and you just talked to one person and said, too bad for you.
Right. No, I could not do that to either party. So that's what, and both parties, by the way, wanted me to do that to the other.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. Both parties are always more important than the
right,
other.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So there was a lot of like, well, just cancel the other one. Yeah, I think you just cancel the other one.
Yeah, who needs groups?
So I had to do a lot of stressful rescheduling. I pissed both parties off. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, can I start a little bit later over here and end a little bit earlier over here? I had to ask the promoter for an almost unheard of thing where they put the headliner in the middle of the
what?
Show. Yeah. I had to do. They did that for me.
Wow.
They were not happy about it, but they were very.
I wouldn't be either.
They were very kind to do it, and you know. So, anyways,
well,
so
I would. All that. By the way, you know who that's the worst for? The feature. could you imagine? Well, that was the good person doing, a solid right. 30 minutes. Now let's just watch this okay guy do 15 or 20.
Stick around if you would be so kind.
Yeah.
And remember, that happened to me when I played the Irvine Improv for my hometown crowd. But the headliner just didn't want to wait around all night. So he went up and did an hour. And then they turned the house lights back on. They're like, wait, one more guy.
It'd be like going to a movie. And at the very end, they're like, well, now is the previews for other movies.
Yeah, stick around if you please. So anyways, one thing, though, about this. So I was able to pull it off. And it was very stressful. I felt like an adrenaline surge.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already get very excited before any one performance, whether a band or comedy. But like, to know there was two, and both audiences were packed, and there's two different venues waiting to see me, like, I felt like I was on low-grade cocaine. I'm like, it felt like I used to when I used to walk into amateur MMA fights. Like you'd have to control your heart rate and your adrenaline, because otherwise you'll have that adrenaline dump and then you'll be gassed, you know. So, anyways, I felt that. And here's the thing that's brought up, and I'm not gonna get too preachy here. This isn't gonna be like a work hard and pull yourself up by the bootstraps. But it made me think of something because a lot of people were asking me why I'm doing both. And at some point it just got to be like, I wanted to see if I could do it. I wanted to push myself. That would, this would be a cool thing for me to prove to myself I could do. But initially, that's not why I did it. It was because I didn't want to cancel on either person, because when you're doing something creative, when you're doing something, forget creativity, something that you really want to do, that's probably, there's a lot of people that also want to do that. Right. For that reason, it's very competitive. So yep. You want to be the guy that's known to never cancel no matter yep. what. You know, and you can have a lot of asterisks and a lot of reasons, but the at the end of the day, if word gets around, yeah, that guy tends to cancel and double book himself. Mm-hmm. Even if you're great at whatever you do, it doesn't matter how great you are if you don't show up. So there's yeah. there was that. And it made me like further think about this, is that the difference between a lot of people in all fields is that there are people that will let anything get in the way, and they will let any excuse stop them. Here's a perfect example. We lost a singer for my Fiends band, the tribute band I do. And this, we put out an ad like, hey, we're looking to replace this role. This guy hits me up. He's like, hey man, like it's always been my dream to sing in a live band. And you know, I've been a huge Misfits fan my whole life. This is like a dream come true. I've seen you guys 4 times. Like, this is a huge opportunity. Can I please audition? I said, yeah, that's fine. You can do that. So we set up an audition. We gave him the songs to learn. And like a couple days before, no, I'm sorry, like the day before, he goes, hey man, he writes me on Facebook, I'm just not going to be able to do it, man. I'm having some problems with my girlfriend right now, and you know, life's kind of getting in the way.
I'm having some problems with my girlfriend. She's literally holding my throat, so I can't physically sing.
Yeah. So you know,
what problem with your girlfriend? What the fuck are you talking about? Go sing a song.
And she said no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably it. Yeah.
She said, girls are going to want to bang you. I'm not in for this.
But I'm not saying like being in my little rinky-dink novelty band is a huge deal, but for him it was. By his own admission. And I'm like, what? How crippling to have that kind of personality where something that by your own admission you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
The opportunity was presented to you, and because like you weren't feeling it, you let it go.
That quick.
Yeah. But I realize most people are like that.
A lot of people do that, and they do it too also because I think a lot of people are scared. Like, they don't want to admit it, but they're kind of scared of the possibility of their own success because – if you actually go out and try that thing and you fail, then it's not that you didn't get the opportunity or somebody's screwing you over. It's just that you can't do it. And right. A lot of times when it comes down to it, people don't want to challenge themselves and put themselves on that kind of like either or. Either I succeed or I don't. Because if the second you don't succeed, you no longer have the excuse.
Yeah. You know, and I was telling my wife about this. I'm like, you know, I showed her that email. I'm like, this is why I have surpassed a lot of comics along the way that were a lot funnier than me and a lot more talented, because I never let anything get in the way, and they always did, you know? Yeah. So, and that's why when people say, oh, comedy's not about who's funniest, I'm like, yeah, lucky for you and me. So
right now there's some fucking hilarious loser out there who's just not making it because he doesn't want to grind.
Right, and it's crazy, you know, when I see people, it's frustrating when I see people given these opportunities. I know someone that is good with arts and crafts, and she was given the opportunity to put her stuff in a store, like a very successful store. And they're like, yeah, you just need to do A, B, and C for me. Show me these mock-ups of your little arts and crafts that you love doing, and we'll get you put in my store, and you'll probably be making a lot of money. And to this day, she's just kind of like, I'll get around with it. I'll get around to it. Sounds like a lot of work. You know, it's those things where I'm like, God damn it!
Yeah.
So anyways, moving on. Bobby, I wanted to share this with you. I was over at my buddy's house the other night, my buddy Ryan. We go way back. It was my first time meeting his kid, and this kid is about, I think he might be just barely 2 years old, about the same age as your kid. This kid had a crazy vocabulary.
Really?
Like, nuts. Like, I always thought that Bruce had a pretty good vocabulary.
He does.
He's dunking on Bruce.
Oh, really?
And the thing is, I've never seen a kid so well behaved. And now I realized, so here's what happened. His mom is a speech pathologist. So he's got he's juicing. So don't take it too hard on yourself, Bruce. He's got he's got an upper hand on you. But I was like, I was astonished. I'm like, you know, I was telling my friends, I've never seen a kid so well behaved. And he goes, well, the two go hand in hand. I said, how do you mean? He goes, well, because he has these language skills,
then he doesn't throw temper
he's
tantrums.
Able to communicate what he wants, and that eliminates about 95% of the tantrums. And I'm like, how interesting.
Yeah.
Because I never thought of it that way. I just thought, like, kid can't handle not having what he wants and has a meltdown. It's that they cannot communicate.
Most of the time, it's that they're really frustrated at their inability to express it. Like, when my son starts whining, what we always tell him is, just use your words. Like, that's our thing, common retort, is just use your words. And he'll usually stop whining, stop crying, and tell you what he wants, and then it's very easy to do. And the more you get them into that phase, the less of those tantrums you have. Usually, there's always going to be the tired, I'm a baby, I'm a fucking going to throw a tantrum thing. Yeah. But, like, usually if you can get them to tell you what they want and when they want it and express themselves, they throw very, very few tantrums. And one of the things that we notice with our son is, like, you could actually get him halfway out the middle of a tantrum if you get it quick enough. Like, you see him starting to go wrong, you just go like, hey, hey, use your words, you'll get whatever you want, but you cry like this, you're not getting anything, you'll get into a timeout. And he'll, like, I'm really impressed because he's two, and he'll just kind of, like, you can see him like, I'm losing it, but I really want that juice.
I'm just seeing his two-year-old shake his head, plop a couple Alka-Seltzers in a glass, and go, ugh.
No, that's totally true. And I actually think about that sometimes when I see, like, adults who are throwing temper tantrums, and I'm like, do you just not know how to tell us what you want? Well,
that's what, you know, I went down the rabbit hole of thought when I was thinking about this at this little dinner party. Is like, I was like, wow, that really does crossover into adulthood. I kept thinking about it. Number one, you remember my friend Julio? We had him as a guest in the show at one point. I went to college with him. He had that horrible accident where there was a problem with his anesthesia, and, you know, he went partially, like, he got brain damage, essentially. Yeah. And for a while, he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
But you could see that he wanted to say things to you, but he was physically unable for one reason or another. And you could see him just like, this guy just go, gah, gah, you can see the frustration. Like, I've got something to say and can't say it.
Yeah.
Gah, that was like the crux of his, the bane of that illness for him.
It's the exact same feeling you would get if you were talking to a super narcissistic chick in high school. You're like, I got something I want to say, but you won't shut the fuck up for 2 seconds for me to say it.
Yeah. And like, I'm thinking, like, what about my 20s? What about people that get into fights in their 20s?
Yeah.
Isn't that just like, dude, I'm feeling something that I don't understand?
You know, it's funny that you say that, because, like, in prison, there's very high illiteracy, you know, and some of the dudes can't read.
Right.
How high was that?
Man, I would say, like, out of 10 dudes, you might have one dude that can't read.
Really? Okay. That is super high.
Yeah, that's pretty high.
But now you think it's even higher because, okay, one dude can't read, but you think guy number two is reading at a first grade level.
Yeah.
And then guy number three, like, he can't really write that well. So I bet it's even higher than that.
Right. You know, and I mean, to the point where, I mean, when I went in, I was a completely different dude than I am now.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
But when I
probably
went
why
in,
you were in there.
Yeah. You know, but I used to like to speak at a high level.
Sure.
You know, whatever. And so, you know, I'm talking, whatever. And then one of the older homies pulled me aside and he goes, hey, man, you know what? He goes, it's cool that you know all those words and stuff, but these dudes don't.
Yeah.
And if you keep doing that, they're going to take it as disrespect.
Okay.
You know, that you're, you know, so keep it, you know.
I've heard that before. I've heard like you keep using these big words, I'm going to take it as you think I'm stupid.
That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. Because he's like, hey, I mean, granted, you're teaching us a lot of words, and therefore our vocabulary are increasing too, but shut the fuck up or we'll stab you.
Yeah. And the funny thing is that it actually stuck.
Yeah.
It stuck with me. Like, after 3 years, you know, I spoke differently.
Oh, so you decreased your own vocabulary.
Yeah, in a sense, I simplified.
Did you get it back, do you think? Like, did you start trying to rebuild those skills?
No.
Really?
No.
Oh, wow.
I like the idea that we send people to prison for rehabilitation and they come out much more violent and with lowered vocabulary.
Yeah.
That was money well spent there.
Yeah, I kind of liked the style.
Okay.
Of just, you know, being simple and blunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I actually feel like you can tell a lot about who a kid will be when they're like two, because, like, he's not perfect with it, but about 90% of the time my son knows he's got to say the word please, you know, and he's known that since he was 21 months old. Mm-hmm. And then you meet somebody who's like 25 and they're, you know, the young person starting their career and they still don't know how to say please and just
increasingly so.
Yeah, and not just like please as in a common courtesy, as in I'm going to demand something of you as if I'm ordering you around because I have literally never learned how to ask for something nicely. And I'm like, my fucking two-year-old can do this. Mm-hmm. My two-year-old can express when they're angry instead of throwing a tantrum. What happened to you?
Yeah. You know, I saw that. You see a lot of rich entitled adults.
Yeah.
I love this. And I just talked about it on Facebook the other day. I love it. Love it. This only happens once in a while. Where you'll be in a long line for something, and you'll see usually this is the stereotype that's always been this demographic for me, is older. I'm going to say 60 plus. Looks a little well off given the way they're dressed. Mm-hmm. And white as the day is long.
Yeah.
And you can see them just panicking this line. Like, wait, like this look of like, I'm not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
I'm used to things of privilege. Mm-hmm. And they're not able to compute it. They're not able to really articulate why they're upset to be right. made to wait with all these commoners in this yeah. long grocery line. And all of a sudden you start seeing them like trying to resolve it. Like they're like going to other, like to, going up to the check stands and they're closed. Like, excuse me. I'm like, just say it.
Where's
just,
the first class lounge?
Yeah. I'm just watching them like, just say it. Just say, where do I go if I don't want to wait in lines? Yeah. That's what you're really trying to say, yeah. isn't it? That's what you're used to having to deal with. Go ahead and say it so they can laugh at you.
Yeah.
You know, so I just love when they're like, a 16-year-old kid who makes minimum wage, who they find inferior to them, yeah. has to say, no, wait your turn. You yeah. see them go, ah! they mentally break, and I'm just sitting there like, just savoring it all, sopping it up with a piece of bread and eating it.
The best one of those I ever saw was at the zoo, and the zoo is a weird
place. Fucking rhinoceros didn't want to wait in line.
You don't want to be behind that rhinoceros in line anyway. He's got a weapon.
That horn.
Yeah. No, I was at the zoo, and the thing with the zoo is, like, if you already have a pass, like, my wife and I have year passes, so you just walk in, but then there's a line to, like, buy passes if you haven't been there before, and on the weekends, during the summer, it can be a long-ass line. And I watch this woman walk up to the back of the line. She's got two kids in tow. She walks up, and she just looks absolutely nonplussed. She's so flabbergasted that there is this giant line in front of her. And she shows up, and she has a kid on each hand, and she stands right in the back of the line. No joke. Takes her like 35 seconds, and she's just like almost pacing while standing still. And mm-hmm. She turns to her son, and she goes, don't worry, I'll handle this. And and she walks over to the front of the line and goes, excuse me, yes, we are here out of town. We're from Cincinnati, and we would like to get tickets. And the woman looked at her like, yeah, okay, you're in the right line. Yeah, this is the right place. Yeah. She goes, yeah, yes, but the line is way too long right now, and so I need tickets. And she goes, I'm sorry. We'll maybe open something if we can a little bit later, but obviously you're going to have to wait in line. And she goes, we're from Cincinnati.
Ooh.
As if that was some kind of like code word that they had established beforehand. And the woman goes, okay, well, it's great to have you here, but I can't let you cut in line. Woman goes back, and I think, oh, this is interesting. And this is the point where I am now at the gate ready to go in the zoo, and I tell my wife, I'm like, take the kid in. I'll meet you in there. I want to see how this works out.
I want to see it all.
I'm going to see this for a second. And so she goes inside the zoo. This woman goes back in line, and now she's like pacing back and forth in her little spot with her kids and like ranting. She's like, I can't believe they said that to us. I can't, you know how far we came for this? Mm-hmm. All these people can come anytime they want. We came a long way. This is blah, 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 blah. She keeps going. And now she's about three quarters of the way through the line. Now there's a decent amount of people behind her in the line. And she just goes, ugh, I'll solve this. And this time she grabs both of her kids' hands.
What? Again? She's doing it again. Wow. Yes. For a second lap?
Except before, she went herself up to the front of the line and talked to the cashier. This time she grabs each of her kids' hands and starts walking up the line going, excuse me, we've come a long way and the line is very long and we need to get inside. And everybody just looks at her and goes, no, what are you like?
Right.
I don't know. I'm confused why we are talking right now. And she kept going up to the front of the line, and her whole bit was she brought her kids, like, oh, look at me, I have these kids. And it's like, everybody in that fucking line has kids. Right. Like, the weird dude in his 30s on his own going to the zoo, that's somebody you need to worry about.
I was going to say, not a lot of solo adults at zoos and theme parks. And if there is, keep an eye.
And so she did the thing literally to every single person in front of her in line. Just walked down
and
the line.
And that's just like you. I'd be sitting there going, no.
It was the greatest thing. I wanted to get popcorn.
I would be tumescent.
I wanted to get autographs from the people who gave her real good burns as she came up to them. But she goes, the first few people, you could see what happened. The first few people were so confused, and they almost let her do it. And they're like, what? I don't know. We're waiting too. I don't understand the difference. But they're like, no, my son has got to go in. I'm sorry. No. But then as it started going up, because she was going to every person in line, it got bolder and bolder. And as she was getting to the front, people were just giving her the hand wave. Don't even talk to me. Wave right in front of me, lady. The best part about this is she got to the front person and she starts making a huge deal. Please, 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 look, we've gone all the way up this line, blah, blah, blah. And the person just looked at her and went, I've actually been waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
And then she turns around, goes back. And the best part is she could not get her old spot back in line because she had taken her kids out. And and everybody had seen her bullshit, and they're like, no, no, no. She threw a huge fit. Security came and told her to just leave the premises.
Yes!
Whoa.
And I sat there as a standing ovation just going, I could have gone in 20 minutes ago. Man. I let my wife and son go by themselves. This was more important.
Bobby's there having an orgasm. Like, yeah.
Justice.
I had like the almost like the opposite thing. I was at San Diego State, that little arena that they have, getting tickets for
Cox
Kiss,
arena,
as a matter of fact. Yeah. And I walk up and there's only two people in line, right? Or three people in line.
All right.
And I'm like, cool, this is going to be quick, right? Well, it's two chicks at the window and they're just like, they have 50 million questions about these two tickets that they're going to buy. You know, well, where is it obstructed view?
Oh.
Is it, you know, which one's closer from the band? You know, whatever. Yeah. They have a measurement, you know, or something.
Yeah.
And the dude in front of me is like 6'9", and he's wearing SDSU clothes. He's obviously a basketball coach or something,
right?
And I'm just like, come on. You know,
steam's coming out of his ears.
But this guy is cool as a cucumber.
Yeah.
And he could actually probably just go in front of her.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, man, if I was that guy, I would do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But since he's not doing it, I'm just going to be cool. All right.
Yeah.
You know?
Now, Bobby, I liked your story, but you used the word flabbergasted. We got Big Frog here. I mean, he's going to take this disrespect. It's cool, you know those words.
It's true.
All right, so but cool it. No, I had a...
He was Cholo Chief.
I didn't see a similar situation. It wasn't as drawn out. It was actually very quick, but just the brevity of it still bothered me. I was at my least favorite airport to be in, which was the Philadelphia International Airport. It's always the busiest.
I heard that's the airport that threw snowballs at Santa Claus.
Yeah. Was it? I don't doubt that.
That's what the Philadelphia fans did to Santa at like a Phillies game.
That does not surprise me. Those people are horrible.
Yeah.
That's where all my family lives. Yeah. Anyway, so I was doing a gig in Pennsylvania, and I was flying out of the Philadelphia International Airport, and the guy in front, the security line is insane. You know, it's one of those ones where it's like, you do need to get there 2 hours before because it's insane.
So well, that's just because they have to pull like three guns off every person coming in.
Yeah. So, and every fourth one is dressed like the Philly fanatic, looking ridiculous. So this guy in a duster with some snakeskin luggage there, he goes, he's checking in, and I can just hear him. And they're like, okay, here's your ticket. There's a security line over there. Don't worry. Your flight doesn't leave for an hour, it's about a half an hour estimated to get through security. And he just looks at the line and goes, will I be able to just walk in front of everyone? And she said, no. And he goes, oh, okay. And walks away. But I still had questions.
Yeah.
It was all I could do. That was the end of it. But I was just sitting there fuming like, why would they do that?
Yeah.
Explain to me what your process was in your brain to make you ask that question.
Right.
What about you would necessitate you going in front of all those people? Is it just because you're better? I need to know.
Yeah, was there something you didn't notice? Like he pulled his jacket to the side, but you were behind him and he like revealed an FBI badge. Yeah. He's like, can I go in front of people? Or like he picked up, like you couldn't see, but he slowly picked up a cooler that said human organ transport. Like, can I go in front of those people?
He was checking if he had the Jedi mind trick.
I will go to the front of the line.
Yeah.
No, Obi-Wan, you will not. this goes off the rails a little bit, but about three, no, God, it's about 6 years ago. I was training this lady at the hospital I worked at, right? And it was just registration, insurance and stuff. And she goes, this is one of those times where a stranger tells you too much about themselves and makes you feel uncomfortable. She goes, so any plans this weekend? And I never tell people at my day job that I'm a comedian because it just leads to 80 stupid questions. So I said, my friend's a comedian. I'm going to go see his show. And she goes, oh, that's fun. I'm moving. And I'm like, oh, really? Where are you moving to and from? She's like, well, I'm moving out of my house in Del Mar because my husband and I are getting divorced because he beat me. And I'm like,
oh,
yes. Okay. And she's like, and I didn't ask for any more details. And I went, sorry to hear that. And she goes, yeah. So, you know, I haven't seen him since December when it happened. You know, I didn't even call the police. The neighbors did because they heard me screaming. And the sheriff came and the door was open and then they caught him in the act. And do you want to see the body cam footage?
Wow.
And she pulls out her phone.
Wow.
And she's like, here's the body cam footage. And I just sat and I watched it. All right. Now, first of all, It is a big old mansion that they
sure.
And I see their
we
their
heard that at Del Mar.
Yeah. And so I see them go, and I'm watching this with the sound up. I can hear her screaming. This person I just fucking met this afternoon, right. By the way. And all of a sudden, I just see the body cam footage go through the darkened house up to this bedroom, and all of a sudden, guns drawn on the ground. This like older wealthy guy goes down. And as they're arrested, and she has her face is battered in this video. I'm like, holy shit, what did a number on you, lady? Yeah. By the way, clock in, you hit 9 first. Yeah. Jesus Christ. By the way, your lunch is at 11:30. Dude, look at your nose. The whole time, as this guy's being arrested, he keeps repeating, but I'm a physician. He's like, get on the ground. He's like, I am a physician. I am an oncologist. And he's like, get on the ground. He's like, you're making a big mistake. I am a respected doctor. as if this gives him like some sort of get out of jail free pass. Whoa. Yeah.
Maybe it did, Ryan. You don't understand. This is a complicated new medical treatment. I'm beating the cancer out of her.
Yeah. Bobby, close. He goes, I wasn't doing anything. They're basically like, we caught you. And the guy goes, I didn't touch her. He goes, then why is she bleeding from her nose and mouth? And he goes, I'm a doctor, and there's no medical explanation for that. He seriously said that. He goes, there is no medical explanation for why she is bleeding. I should know. I'm a physician.
Finally,
the cop said, you told us 8 times you're a physician. Do you think that makes it impossible for you to be in trouble with the law?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was the, oh my God, the most poignant time of someone just going, but the rules don't apply. Mm-hmm. I'm a physician. It's okay. I'm a limo driver. It was that stupid.
You know, I don't think that some people really know how close they ever are to going to jail.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And some people seem to think like there's a nice people jail.
Yeah, right.
And go to the same place.
And I think you told us last time you were on, there was a guy that got put in there for like cooking the books or something.
Yeah.
And like and they just, they become the fat guy from Shawshank Redemption. Yeah. God, I'm not supposed to be here.
I mean, almost every time that I've ever gone to just, you know, lock up.
Yeah.
There's a dude in a tux or something, you know, that was somewhere cool and just fucked up somehow.
Yeah.
And there they are now.
There's always a Monopoly guy in jail.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about this.
He rolled doubles 3 times in a row. He illegally built houses on Park Place. That's why he's there.
I was thinking about this, Frog, because I was thinking from a prison perspective. We both love MMA, and I've been thinking about if you were a prisoner, and let's say you had nothing, you just got brought out of the hole. They keep you naked in the hole, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Bobby, where are you getting your information? That was a weird thing. I've never heard that.
Maybe that's not universal. I've heard a few.
Maybe that's me watching Oz with my pants around my ankles.
If you're like on suicide watch or something like that.
So let's say they bring you out and you're completely naked, but you know because of the reason you went in there that you're gonna get your ass jumped pretty soon. And it might be one-on-one, might not be one-on-one, but you need to defend yourself best as possible.
Right.
Now, in this scenario, let's say this is a really well-kept jail, and you know, as a matter of fact, there will be no weapons involved, right? They don't have any shanks or anything like that. They just flip their cell, they know they don't have any shanks, and you won't get any shanks.
Right.
What do you do to best protect yourself? What do you get? And so one of my examples of this is, you know, maybe you tear up some bed sheets and make yourself some wrist wraps. Because few people realize how important wrist wraps are in any kind of striking fight. Like, I can hit 2-3 times as hard with wrist wraps on as without it. And without it, you're likely to break your own hand or wrist as you're throwing a punch. So, like,
it's more effective because there's no give to your wrist.
Yes.
It's the same. Think of it this way. If you're bowling, those guys that have the wrist brace on, they're able to throw strikes every time because their wrist isn't giving and it's firm. Same with a punch. If there's no give to it, then that's going to be more effective.
Yeah, and it won't. And it literally keeps you from shattering your wrist if you throw a punch way harder than your body is meant to throw. So I've always said, you know, like me with wrist wraps and me without, I feel like a superhero when I have wrist wraps on. What are the things you do coming out of that cell to try and protect yourself? So I'm throwing out my first one, which is cut some bed sheets into wrist wraps.
Okay.
Right.
Frog?
Well, first of all, there's not going to be you're not going to be exposed until you get back to your unit.
Sure. Okay? So you're waiting on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So once you walk into your unit, then you know where certain things are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, there's always cleaning supplies around because that's what, I mean, that's what prisoners do all
day. Little Windex in the eyes,
yeah,
huh?
Little, you know, throw the mop bucket and you could escape.
Yep,
you know, whatever.
I like that.
Okay. Grab the mop. Yep. You know, grab a lock. Mm-hmm. You know, because all those things.
But in this scenario,
up.
No weapons.
Okay, no weapons. So yeah. That's going to be tough. Well, the good thing about that is that it would be almost, if you did get jumped in that sense, it would be almost like getting jumped in because it would be like 30 seconds
okay.
before they, you know.
Before they jumped on you.
So basically, what I would do would be I would back myself into a corner.
Yep.
And make sure nobody could get behind me.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And then
cool.
I would just sling.
Which, by the way, if anybody ever watched the TV show Sons of Anarchy, spoiler alert coming up here, but there's a very famous death in that show of one of the main characters, Opie, in prison. And I got so angry because the way they killed him is they had him in an interview room and they sent in prison and they sent three gang members from the other gang in there and they gave him a metal pipe to defend himself. And he stood in the middle of the fucking room. And they got, if you put yourself in a corner with a metal pipe, you could beat the shit out of three guys.
You'd have a good chance.
All right, that's interesting, Ryan.
Well, the cleaning supplies, I don't say
that. I hadn't considered that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I'm going to dip my hands in some cleaning solution. Mm-hmm. It so might burn applied, a little, but as a guy is on me, if I can grab around his neck and get a little of that in his eyes, well, then he is incapacitated. You take away someone's eyes, you take away about 80% of their fighting ability. Now he's just throwing wild swings. So yeah, I can just rub that in some eyeballs and I am set. So I'm going cleaning supplies on my hands to act as a chemical agent.
Here's mine that most people don't even think of because they just take it as a given. But given our scenario, it's not. You know what I think is the biggest advantage if you are a man facing another man in any kind of martial arts, physical combat fight? The biggest advantage? Briefs or boxer briefs.
Uh-huh.
Think about it. Think about fighting naked, right? So you just come out of the hole, you're buck naked. Your ability to fight is almost nothing.
Right.
I don't care if you're a Muay Thai champion. If your balls are dangling around, you're not throwing any big kicks. Like, you're not being able to move around. You can get taken out really easily. Literally, the biggest fight advantage you have, I've broken this down, I think it's literally underwear. I think underwear is the biggest fight advantage you could possibly have against another person.
I would definitely go for that. Go for that. And I mean, you know, like for us, everybody has a different rules.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
for us, we have to wear shoes all the time.
Oh, really?
Like literally you go into the shower, then you take off your shoes, place them outside, take a shower.
Why?
And then, but because it just shows that you're ready.
Okay, so
that
traction.
You're not slipping.
Yeah.
That you're, you know.
Shoes would be huge too.
Yeah.
Shoes, I didn't think about that one. Shoes would be big. I would crumple up like a piece of cloth or something because my other big one, even before probably wrists wraps, is I go underwear and then I shove something in my mouth for a mouth guard because mouth guard is a big one too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
One tiny clip of teeth on teeth can be a real bad thing,
for sure.
Whereas just a little bit of cloth in there can do that. And then I think the last thing I do, get some sink water or whatever, or the toilet tank water, and you splash it on your face almost like Vaseline, like if you're doing a boxing match.
Oh, yeah, you can slip out of shit easy.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, listeners, write me on Facebook. Let us know what your prison advantage would be.
Man, you better try and find something that beats underwear because that one's hard.
No weapons.
Yeah.
Now, Bobby, you were telling me we were texting back and forth. You said you had a little problem at Nerd Night the other night.
Oh, my
gosh.
A little
problematic audience member, was it? What happened?
It was so funny. These Nerd Night audiences can be super, super hot and amazing. And then every once in a while, there's just like an off tick that happens. And I noticed this one.
Off tick. Now, when you say that, you mean like the audience just isn't feeling
it? Yeah.
No energy in the room?
Well, kind of. The energy was fine initially. But what happened, like, I was like, the second it happened, I was like, oh, man, this is going to suck. And I was doing my opening like monologue bits and I was doing an intro and I have a stand-up bit about how we're all from Africa. All human beings come from Africa originally and we were there much longer than we were anywhere else. So deep down, we're all black. And that has to be the coolest thing that a suburban white kid can learn in science class. Right. And it's just like, it's just a little joke. And I did it. And there was this woman in the back who happened to be, she looked like she was a person of color. And she was there with like her partner, her lesbian partner, and they were holding hands. And the second I said it, she went, boo.
Like that?
Like that.
Drawn out?
Yes. And I looked around and I was like, oh, great. Because I got literally 75 other super guilty white people in this room. Right. Like that audience is a very super guilty white person audience. And it's not like, that's not a racist joke. Yeah. If anything, I'm making fun of white suburban kids. Like, yeah. That is the only thing you can take from that joke. But it's like, oh, that white guy said the word black. I better boo him.
Yeah.
And now everybody in the audience is paralyzed with fear. If I laugh at the next thing he says, am I not an ally anymore?
Right.
Am I on the, am I Richard Spencer all of a sudden?
Right.
Well, we've talked about this before. There are so many people nowadays, maybe they've always been there, that just hear buzzwords. They don't hear all the words surrounding it and string these words together.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I made a joke about this. It wasn't about pedophiles, but it said, I said the word pedophile, and all of a sudden people started slamming me like, you think kids getting fucked is funny?
Right.
I'm like, I never said that.
Yeah.
I was literally making fun of a conservative group that that invented the organization NAMLA to try and pin it on the LGBT community.
Yeah.
And I said the word pedophile. Oh, so kids getting molested is funny.
I'm yeah.
Like, who's doing it?
Yeah. Is it a clown?
I got a good one. I say inappropriate shit all the time, like on stage and real life and whatever. You know?
You're very much the character off stage as you are.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And so my girl is half Filipino, half Mexican, basically, right? But they had like a 2-for-1 deal.
So 3/4 Mexican.
Yeah. So basically.
Yeah.
So we had like a 2-for-1 deal and we got our ancestry shit done or whatever. So basically with her, a good chunk of her DNA, like 40-something% comes from the Philippines.
Okay.
Right? But the interesting thing about that is that most people that come from the Philippines, their DNA comes from China.
Okay.
It's just that Philippines are like a stopover or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But her DNA is
Spanish
like...
Spanish DNA in Ireland, yeah.
Yes, yeah, so but her DNA is like from there, right? Couple weeks later, and this is only a few weeks ago, they make some discovery of some other like link...
Yeah, yeah. So
in the Philippines.
There was a new hominid found on Filipino island.
So I tell my girl, see, you're one of those. Right?
Yeah. Whoops.
And, you know, whatever. And then, like, 2-3 days later, she's like, do you really think I'm like another species? You know, I put the two things together. I made a joke. That's what I do. Yo, okay, just making sure.
So, Bobby, going back, so how did you handle that?
Well, so I kept going. That was like kind of the end of my intro set, and I brought up the first scientist. And I'll tell you what, don't feel bad for me. I've bombed 1,000. This is part of comedy. We've all bombed. We don't take it to heart. It just is what it is. But I felt really bad for all the scientists because guess what? That room keeps that vibe. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm not the guy on stage anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to keep that weird, I'm kind of insecure, I don't want to piss this person off. Clearly, there's a person of color who feels that they are being transgressed against, and I can't be a part of that.
Again,
so,
Bobby, the big words. We got Big Frog here. Yeah. Come on, man.
And so I'm going to stay somewhat tight-lipped and not appreciate it and generally not have fun. And it was weird because I've seen, you know, a dozen of these things now, and I've seen the progression. They usually get more and more fun and loose, and the audiences are great. And this was like a stone fucking wall. And keep in mind, we have repeat audience members that make up half our audience, so a lot of it's the exact same people. But the audience had been poisoned at that point to such a degree that none of the scientists got anything out of them. Usually these scientists will just say the most ridiculous, like, half-written jokes or something, and people will break out in applause because it's a science fucking lecture. But this time, they were actually throwing out some pretty funny jokes and everything. People were like, And I was like, man, there are 80-some-odd people in this room.
Mm-hmm.
One person ruined the next 3 hours for all of us.
Yeah.
One person who thought that their anger needed to be expressed. By the way, because you got angry at something you shouldn't be angry at.
Right.
Your anger needed to be expressed, and therefore you stole everybody's night. Congratulations. Way to go. It's not even me. Again, I will go off and do 5 shows in the next week or mics or something, and it'd be just fine. Everybody else in this audience gets screwed over because you're super selfish.
Yeah, you salted the land.
Yeah.
But scorched earth policy. Yeah.
But hey, good thing nobody can have fun tonight because you were too sensitive. Good thing. Hey.
Did that audience member, they stayed the whole time,
yes,
continuing to poison the well water.
They didn't do anything else, but they didn't need to because that aura was just around them.
You know, that is one thing that I've always been so... I don't know, stumped by, is in my 10 years of performing live, is once in a while, it doesn't happen to every audience, of course, once in a while, you'll see someone that's just there, arms folded,
yeah,
not having a good time. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, as you're talking, as you're doing your act, you'll look down and they're shaking their head no at everything you're saying. Like seriously, I remember distinctly this one time at the Madhouse Comedy Club. I said, so I was on the trolley the other day, and the guy shook his head no.
No,
you were not. And I'm like,
I'm a bus fan. You do not mention trolleys in here.
I remember that. So it's so burned in my mind. So all right. So first of all, okay, you don't like me. That's fine.
Yeah.
That's another thing you got to get used to as a comic.
Totally.
People not liking you. There are just some people that will just, they see you and you just rub them the wrong way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like a dog sniffing cauliflower. Like, nope. So, but so you're used to that. But like, the question is, why are you still here, man?
Yeah.
Why don't you leave? Go ask for your money back. You paid $9 to get in here.
Right.
Go get it back. They'll give it to you back. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you going to stay for the whole show? And neither of us was happy about this arrangement, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not happy that you're here souring your quarter of the audience, you know, and your table, and whispering every time I say something and shaking your head negatively. Why are you still here? Why did that lady stay at Nerd Night?
It was so silly. And I'm like, I could tell, like, a lot of times the individual people will come for a specific speaker. We have a core audience, and then we have individuals that come to see a specific speaker. And she sat next to one of the speakers, who I actually thought he was like my favorite speaker of the night too. And I had gotten and talked to him for a little bit, and I was like, that motherfucker ain't getting invited back because he brings bad people with
him. Man, that's the worst. I don't think a lot of performers think about this, and I know that guy's not a performer, he's a scientist,
right.
A lot of people don't think about like how the people they attract might be hurting them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There was one comic I knew.
Listen up, juggalos.
This guy, he would always bring his wife or girlfriend, I forget which, and she would bring two of her friends. They would spend the entire show at a table loudly talking with each other, it was ruining all the other comics' acts, and then when he would get up to do his act, stone quiet, just laughing at everything he said, and then he'd get off stage, and so that guy was complaining online, like, why can't I get work? It's like, because you bring a gaggle of shitty people.
Yeah.
You know, there are some people that come to my shows, and they just don't get that the employees at the comedy clubs are just idiots for the most part and are not expected to have, like, customer service skills and all that.
Yeah,
and so they complain and they, like, you know, and I'm just like, you're not helping. You're not helping.
Here's what the great thing is about comedy clubs is it is staffed with 100% almost comics that want stage time.
Yeah.
Comics have no work ethic, no employment history. Yeah. They don't understand about being professional, and the management doesn't fucking care because they work for nothing. So it always amuses me when I see someone complain at a comedy club because I can just see the guy like, I would like to speak to your manager like, okay, but this isn't going to go the way it does when you do this at Bloomingdale's. Yeah. Like, he's doing cocaine right now.
Yeah.
When he's done, he'll hear you, but doesn't talk a lot. He'll just kind of grind his teeth. You know, and, like, just all the complaints. Like, the staff was very rude to me.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we wish we could fire them, but we already don't pay them. So sorry about that, but it's not going to change. The food was terrible. Oh, you ate you weren't supposed to eat the food.
That's like food in a model home. That's plastic.
Like,
mostly.
We just have that just so we can put that we have food on Yelp. You should probably go to an urgent care.
It's actually a tax scheme. Yeah.
It wasn't the chicken. Oh, you ate the chicken. Ooh. Snake eyes, lady. Snake eyes.
I like the idea. Like, I want to see the manager. Why? You got something you want to tag up or?
Yeah, right. They don't care. They absolutely don't care at a comedy club. And when people complain, the people just go, yeah, that sucks. Remember that the Yelp review for the Madhouse? Like, I went in and I tried to redeem my free coupons, and they said, we're already filled up here tonight. And she said, but I came all the way from and the bouncer said to me, sometimes life sucks. I'm like, I know exactly who said that. Never complain at a comedy club because we don't care.
Oh, totally. I went to go see Jeselnik one time at ACC, and, you know, ACC is like, it's a pretty cool club underground, but you wouldn't know it from the top part. The top part is just like a door, you know, where you go in to buy your tickets and stuff like that. There was this big long line to go get the tickets for Jeselnik, and it was clearly going to be sold out. Clearly. You could just walk by and say, there's more people in that line alone. Forget Will Call.
Yeah, the last third is getting turned
around. Then it. And somebody was in the first part of the line. They're like, and I'm like, booth tickets. And they're like, we don't really do that here. And then she's like, no, well, I want some kind of like special VIP. And they're like, we don't really have that available for this show. Sorry. And she goes, well, what can you offer me? And he goes, I just regular tickets. And then she goes, no, not good enough. And he goes, okay, Sorry. Next, please.
Oh, yes.
And then she walked away, not realizing what had happened. And then kind of like did a double take and was like, oh, shit. Now I'm not going to this show.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah, that ties back into our first topic of the discussion.
Meanwhile, the entire line is like, yes, I just got one person closer to getting a ticket. Yes.
Yeah, if just 60 more of these people are that obtuse, I'm seeing Jeselnik.
And what would be VIP at that place? Like,
it's third row?
Clearly, she had never been there.
It's a 60-seat venue.
Yeah, she had never been there, very clearly, right? And, like, she saw a Comedy Central roast and was like, ooh, I want to go see the guy. I want to go see the Jeselnik.
You know what the bouncer should have said? He should have said, lady, use your words. Tell me. I want you to tell me what you're feeling right now. Use your words.
I want to see Jeselnik, but I want to have champagne.
Okay, well, that's not offered here. Now, what would you like? Would you still like to come to see the show? I would. That would
be- I want you to sit a nap.
All right, let's call the week. Frog, thank you for being here, buddy. We always appreciate you bailing us out.
Love it.
All right, I'm Ryan for Bobby and Big Frog saying see you next week, cruising with the twos.
Shut the fuck up or we'll stab you.
Yeah, time passing by. Motherfucking time is passing.